How would you like to live with people coming all the time with questions, trying to trap you so that they could put you in jail and kill you? Remember now, this is not, you know, Montgomery Village. This is the Middle East. We all see enough news now to know it's a pretty violent place. And they want to kill him. And so they ask this question, and the hypocrisy of it is, you know, you are a good, truthful man. You are not concerned with... They're trying to, yeah, I am. I'm willing to say anything, you know, and so they can get him. And he is God. And he's come to save us from eternal ruin. We're all familiar with the story, and we all know the answer and how he got out of their dilemma, and we're pretty proud of him. But that's not the issue. That's not the issue. But I do want to look at what he did say. Remember, this is the Son of God teaching us about this world. So he says, bring me a denarius, son, a Roman coin. And because, you know, there wasn't a national mint where all the money was, because it wouldn't make any difference today, because none of it is worth what it says on it. You know, a dollar used to be worth a dollar. And if you turned it into the treasury, they'd give you a dollar's worth of silver. That was the whole idea. Well, of course. The way they did it then was, they had money testers. And you could have any old money you wanted, but if you're going to, when you pay your tax, it had to be in denarius. It had to be like the temple tax was the same thing. That's why they were money changers in the temple. You had to pay with money they were sure of. And that's the whole point here. So Jesus says, you know, whose inscription is this? Whose pictures on here? Whose imago? Whose image is here? Caesar's. Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And give to God what is God's. I mentioned the other day, this introduces this principle. Huh? In a pagan world, the only principle is the state. There is no other. And religion is cultivating the forces of this world in a way that will preserve the good order, the good condition of the state. If somebody went to one of our NFL games and saw everybody standing there singing the Star Spangled Banner, he would say, this is a very religious group, because they're honoring the state. They're honoring the gods who look after the state. This is a very religious group. Morality had nothing to do with religion. Religion was to maintain the good order of the state, because the state is everything. Not for the Jews. For the Jews, God established the state. But now that there's foreign occupation, they're confronted with this dilemma. This all-powerful state, which is not all-powerful. That's where we are today. The ACLU, how many other groups, believe, basically, that the state is all there is. Judge Castet is dismissed from his post down in the South because he kept the Ten Commandments up. This is vicious. This does not come from the Spirit of God. It comes from another spirit. And my friends, except for some very courageous lawyers, most of us are sitting here in this, like frogs in the pot, until we're cooked. This is a systematic, you know, can't pray in the schools. Why not? Because the state says so. Abortion is all right. Why? Because the state says so. Embryonic research is okay because the state says so. Now, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but these are not Caesar's. And this is our challenge. I happen to know some great, mostly Catholic lawyers who fight this stuff all over the place, according to the laws of our nation. But this is what we're faced with. Now, you know, there's a polite bow once in a while to the religious obscurantism of the Catholics particularly, or some Orthodox Jews. But this nation is becoming totally pagan. There is no more. And religion is a private affair. Spinoza was the first one to introduce that, who was an atheist, a smart one too. He said, after the religious wars of Europe, Protestant Catholics fighting all the time, killing each other, we created, our sin created the atmosphere. So Spinoza and others began to say, look, religion only causes problems. It only causes wars. It was a great, turned out he was Jewish, but he renounced his faith. Asman has this. See, once people start to appeal to an ultimate, they're going to fight. Just get that out of the way and let the state run things. Now, if you want to believe in God, go right ahead. But it can't go into the public life. It can't. And so then we have this own, this private idiosyncratic notion of reality. And so long as we're harmless, nobody's going to bother us. But go out in front of an abortion clinic and say this is wrong, you'll go to jail. The state. I'm trying to, this principle that our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, is not just a way to get out of a dilemma. Remember, he's the Son of God. He doesn't need that. This is to open up our minds and to open up our hearts and to see what's going on. Now, it's very important to recognize this. The state has rights. Right now, for instance, there's a strong movement among the Muslims, a beautiful one. In fact, there's a group downtown called the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy. And they put on workshops, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain. But they are under God. Now these are the people we should be talking with. And they have to separate themselves from the crazies. But on our side, we have to separate ourselves from another kind of crazy. The secularists, for whom there is nothing but this world. And this is a real challenge. How do we do it? Basically, as our Lord Jesus Christ has been telling us over and over again, particularly through these booklets, Direction for Our Times, by being a bearer of Christ, they see Christ in us. Basically. And then, you know, protesting when people are manipulating the law in a way that eliminates any reference or possibility of a reference to God. And this is, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but render to God what is God's. God has something to say about abortion, about murder, about war, about... And we have to listen and seek him out and let the world know. Do you see how short-sighted this is? You're going to die, my friend. Then what? Now, in the background is this incredibly, you know, well, we're all going to die and go to heaven. You know, we can sort of deny there's a God, and I mean, we're all going to heaven. Where's your ticket? Do you see the superficiality of the way we Christians are living our lives? When are we going to start to think and pray and act? Preach the gospel. Don't take on the state. Preach the gospel. And when the whole state is Christian, no problem. But it's not happening. The Constitution of the French after the Revolution in 1789 was the first constitution in the history of the world to make no reference to any kind of higher power at all. We're it. We're the highest there is. Now Sarkozy, who just got elected, is trying to undo that. He's part Jewish, you know. Sarkozy's in the new president of France. Challenging this. Habermas, the great atheistic philosopher in a dialogue with Ratzinger, said, no matter what we call it from the point of view of morality, we must return to the basic moral principles that have been at the root of every great religious thinking. He's still an atheist, but he sees this. And where are we? In another dialogue, this is going on in Europe. Here, it's hard to get a dialogue going on this stuff, except with the Muslims. This is not relevant, whatever that is. In another dialogue with Ratzinger and Marcello Pera. Marcello Pera, professor of philosophy, and also the head of the Italian Senate. I think he's an atheist, but he certainly believes in Christian principles of reality. How they do that, I don't know, but they do it. And in it, there's a dialogue called Without Roots. It's a book out now. Ratzinger gave a speech. Pera gave a speech. They heard about each other's speeches. They had so much in common that they wrote letters to one another. And the book is the two speeches and their letters. Noble people looking, you see? Anyway, this is what, in that book, this is a line from Ratzinger. Today, at this precise hour in history, Europe and the world need the presence of God. As Christians, we are responsible for maintaining the presence of God in our world, for it is only this presence that has the power to keep man from destroying himself. The presence of God. We should pray, my friend, and we should pray that some of our young people get real zeal to care enough about the 280 million of us or whatever we are, not to let this place become a cesspool, this nation. We have a solemn obligation to pray and for some of our people to go to law school and defend the basic principles of this nation, which is not an atheistic nation. I've already mentioned, I have to stop now, but you see what goes, that's Catholic teaching. You see, abortion, that's Catholic teaching. That's a private affair. And we never appeal to reason. Is it right to kill the defenseless? Do you have to be religious to see how awful that is? This is not Catholics, I've said 100 times, about abortion, embryonic research, all this same-sex marriage. This is not Catholic teaching. This is Catholic witness to the universal truth available to anybody who wants to think. We're not trying to make the whole world, you know, have novenas all day. We're just trying to save it from destroying itself.